good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton cuff, hitting the cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I am your host, Robert Pilot. That's my colonized name. And we discuss national and local Twin City Native American news and events. And as you know there, Ogama, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You know, and I don't know if you can hear me today, Robert. I was having some tech issues with my headset before I got on. Am I clear?
Yeah, we're on live, Ogama. No.
Okay, I'm just checking. Well, I was trying to get on and my microphone wasn't picking up, and I was like, well, we're live. I guess I'll just wait and see. So I'm sorry about that.
This is a live show, Ogama. This is not a taped one, or at least we don't tell people when it's taped. But hey, so before you get going with the news that you don't hear anywhere else, I just have to jump in and talk about the Porter sentence to 2 years on the shooting death of Dante Wright. Well, we have a war on BIPOC people still. We know that if this was a white person that would have been shot by the police, this lady would have been doing more than possibly 14 months getting out with good behavior. So as the world turns, here we are again. We haven't learned anything from George Floyd and the murder of George Floyd, and there's just a lot of rhetoric going on all around Turtle Island, and especially here in the Twin Cities, that BIPOC people's lives are less important and less valuable than our white relatives.
Yeah, you know, it's heartbreaking every time one of these cases happens that we see no justice for the families of those that were lost, and to see so many Black men who are shot or abused by our police forces here in Minnesota and throughout the country, plus our Indigenous and Native relatives, especially men, but women as well, to be singled out and abused by our police forces. It's an ongoing crisis that you know, we really need to keep amplifying and talking about.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you know, we talk about natives thrown in the back of squad cars, and that didn't, that wasn't that long ago. That was in your lifetime, and Ogama, and nothing has changed except that possibly we get to see it now on TV as opposed to not seeing it and being swept under the rug. But we get to see this live now with these cameras on our police force. And it's more disturbing because there it is in living color, as they say.
Right. It's just heartbreaking. And the fact that there is camera footage and that it's still being swept under the rug from a justice point of view is what's so deeply disturbing. And, you know, those people who would say that those of us that step up and speak out about these issues and take to the streets about these types of issues in solidarity, and because oftentimes we feel we have no other choice to make our voices heard, those people who want us to take the regular channels of change want us to take those regular channels of change because they control them. And they know that there's not much that can get done that way.
Well, and as you speak, and I know you have a news segment here, and maybe we can do two parts in the beginning and the very end of the news. This is an important discussion, I think, between you and I and our BIPOC relatives and also our white allies, is that this is something we've been living with for a long time. And we talk about, like, people that are protesting in Line 3 and even back further, watching the Dakota Access Pipeline, where prayerful protesters were being maced and rubber bulleted. And we see, you know, we see like January 6th where, you know, all these white hillbillies had their own way with the government there. And we're slowly seeing things happen. But I'm telling you, if that would have been Native Americans acting like a fool in January 16th, there'd be a lot of deaths reported. And our news would probably be slanting it in a way that they deserved it. And I think that's kind of still where we're living right now here in 2022, which blows my mind, Ogama, because I'm a child of the 60s and a teenager of the 70s, and have lived through what I thought was a social justice era, and it's no better. But again, it's on camera now, and so we get to see that, and it's very disturbing. It's the only person that really got the only policeman that got a long sentence was a person, an African American person, who shot a white lady that startled them. And but other than that, we don't see this. So
right. Well, yeah, we can point out those parallels too between, it's not just in the United States as well with Indigenous people and protest. It's also in Canada, at the Canada with the truckers protesting on the border. They have just now, after several weeks of allowing these truckers to continually cause mayhem and block roads, they're just now authorizing arrests and military force. And in New Zealand, there's people camped out outside the parliament, and they're using non-lethal force by blaring silly music at them, like repeating the Macarena and those kinds of things over the speakers. But I shudder to think even how New Zealand would be reacting if it was the Maori people that were out there protesting for something for their people. You know, these double standards are so clear, especially with all of this camera footage, that it's so hard to continue to... It's not hard, but it's so hard because you have to continually fight people to point out these double standards that people just refuse to see. The people in power are doing it on purpose.
Well, and I think it's brought up here on the progressive stations that we're on too, is that, you know, one thing is for sure is the old native saying is that the left wing and the right wing come from the same bird, and we need to really amplify that, and especially with the election season coming up, I just feel like we've gone through this and we're going through it again, and it just tells you that nothing's really changed. The more the things change, the more they remain the same, or the longer, however that saying goes. But I really feel like Ogama, that's what we're experiencing, and it's travesty. It's the, you know, she's going to get out in 14 months and be able to celebrate holidays and birthdays with her family, and the person that she murdered will never have that other than a memory of this young man. And if making a mistake gives you carte blanche to be murdered, then this is just really a sick society. And it just blows my mind. And I know we only got a minute left here, and we'll probably hook up, talk about some news at the end of the show. But Ogama, thanks for really talking this through with me in this discussion, because this is something that just came up a couple hours ago, and I'm still really pretty shocked about our system that we work, and no, there's no justice, there's no peace. And I really feel like there's been no justice, Ogama.
I agree with you completely. And Kyle Rittenhouse was the one that hit me hard this past year, the acquittal of Kyle Rittenhouse, or the not guilty verdict for him. And, you know, if a dangling air freshener or expired tabs or whatever it was caused to murder Dante Wright. And, you know, we're looking at, you know, the gentleman in Minneapolis who was just murdered by police while he was asleep on a couch. It's, you know, if being black is what's illegal, we have a problem.
Well, up next we have State Senator Mary Kunish of Minnesota. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to us. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Children's Minnesota raises up children's health by raising the standards, hands, voices, the bar, the stakes, the questions, and the curtain on raising kids' health to the highest priority. With the most pediatric experts in the Upper Midwest, we're setting the stage because kids need us, all of us. So let's raise them up so every kid can reach their best health. Children's Minnesota, the kid experts.
The Midtown Phillips Neighborhood Association invites you to their annual meeting taking place over Zoom Tuesday, February 22nd at 6 p.m. Featuring speakers Michael A. Gozy, CEO of American Indian Community Development, as well as Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board Superintendent Al Bangora. In addition, MPNAI will discuss their annual report of activities and projects during 2021 and talk about their partner organizations, upcoming initiatives, and more. Visit MidtownPhillips.org for more information and a link to the meeting taking place on Zoom.
Hi, everyone. AM 950 is grateful to the listeners who stepped up in the last year and helped support the radio station by becoming members. As we move forward, it's still important to help support small businesses like AM 950. We have memberships at any financial level, either a one-time donation or a recurring one, and we appreciate any support. We've already featured a lot of members-only bonus content, like the calendars, but we have more benefits coming soon. To become a member, go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. Click on the Become a Member button and sign up today. Thanks from everyone at AM 950.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. This portion is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And hey, Mary, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. You had a Rock'em Sock'em show on Monday, and it also became the best of Native Roots Radio, so congratulations. And we did bleep out your swearing. We did hear you were doing a little sailor thing there, but we did bleep that out, and welcome, State Senator.
I apologize for that. Somehow it just slipped out. You know, sometimes that happens.
Well, it's the heat of the moment.
It was a great, it was a really great evening of discussion about the MMIW. And I don't know that we got to name our new executive director for our permanent Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives office. Can I tell you a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. I was on pins and needles there, and then you just stopped. Yeah, tell us.
Okay. So, for those of you who are new or haven't heard about this, we in Minnesota have led the march against missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. And we created a task force to study this issue in Minnesota. We completed the task force with a really great report. And the very first recommendation out of that report was to create an office to continue the investigating, to build relationships, data collection, to just continue the work that we started. And we passed that legislation last session, and our new executive director was just hired this week. It is tribal member from the Lower Sioux Indian community, and her name is Juliet Rudy. Juliet is a lifelong Minnesota resident, and her career has been in public safety for like 28 years. And so she begins her duties as the director of the MMIR office on February 28th. and she'll be focusing on the MMIW pandemic here in Minnesota. She'll work with the 11 sovereign tribal nations here in Minnesota and make those connections with our federal, state, and local law enforcement, and continue to work with our community-based organizations and our advocates that were so instrumental in helping us pass this legislation. So, as I said, this is the first in the nation permanent governmental office at a state level, and we're just really excited and really, really proud that we've been able to do this work.
You'll have to get her on the show for next Friday and interview her. That's
probably I'll see if I can do that. Absolutely. Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Well, we were kind of Debbie Downer here before you came on. Ogma didn't do the news. We pretty much had a segment discussion on what's happened here with the Potter being sentenced to only 2 years in the shooting of Dante Wright, and how justice has really not been served, and really Ogma and I are both pretty upset with basically she can get out in probably a year and 4 months for murdering somebody. Your thoughts, Senator?
Yeah. I, again, as in the past, have been, you know, just heartbroken over the continual incidences of our Black men and boys being killed by police officers. And that was certainly a very tragic situation. But I don't know that there was equal justice, that there was, that justice was served. And it's really, it's difficult to defend that kind of decision, whether it was an accident or, we know it wasn't intentional, but there was something that happened there. And it, when you have a seasoned, experienced police officer that pulls a taser gun thinking it was her handgun, or a handgun thinking it was her taser gun, I mean, I don't know. There's just really, really, really something wrong there. And it is really sad. And I don't know how we're going to get past this one.
Right.
It's just really, really heartbreaking once again.
Well, it's also heartbreaking, too, if you're paying attention at all, which I vaguely am, to the George Floyd murder trial that's happening in St. Paul. These officers are basically, you know, pointing fingers to a 19-year veteran, and that they called, they were the first to call the ambulance, and things like that, that you know, really don't help the bottom line. And the bottom line was George Floyd was murdered on camera. And Ogma and I were both talking earlier about, you know, we are now seeing stuff that we heard about years ago in living color now that we see body cameras. And it makes it bad, like Sparky just said there.
Yeah, thank heavens for those body cameras, because it would have been a very, very different story. It would have been a very, very different story, I am sure, in all of these different incidences. And yes, those the other police officers that were there when George Floyd was murdered, one was, what was it? It's like his first or second day on the job, and right, they were, you know, had been perhaps intimidated by Chauvin, you know, in the past. But the fact that they held his legs down, that they kept people back, that just, you cannot forgive that, and you can't forget that. And I think that a lot of people feel that they need to be held responsible for that as well. These are life-changing actions, not just for those police officers, but you think about the families, the people that have died at the hands of the police, the families that are left without their loved ones, especially in such a harsh, harsh way. It just, you know, it's just unacceptable.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I was just telling Ogma too, and I'm sure she knew this, but it, just as soon as like the 90s, they were throwing Native American, the police were throwing Native Americans in the trunk of cars and taking them to the either the doctor or the hospital. But this is things that have been going on to BIPOC people for a very, very, very long time. And I don't know how this can change. You know, when we say defund the police, we really say things like we want mental health crisis workers coming in on situations like this. But just to back up a second, what you were saying, Mary, too, about the George Floyd trial, the first one, what really blew my mind was when we got to see the other cameras for the first time and the people on the street that were freaking out that you're killing him. We didn't see that until the trial. And I don't know how these other police, seeing the people so concerned, could come to any kind of defense. We had people there that were medics. We had people just standing by watching this and yelling at him to get off his knee. And, you know, years earlier, and not that far earlier, we heard a man get murdered by selling cigarettes. And he couldn't breathe either. And go ahead, Ogema. We got 2 minutes, Og.
You know, the tricky part with it that for me is if any of those people on the street would have intervened, I shudder to think what the police reaction in that situation would have been. If there would have been more than one death that occurred, if not George Floyd, one of the bystanders may, you know, an officer may have pulled a gun on a bystander for attempting to stop them. We don't know what would have happened in that kind of scenario. And there's so many people that took that stand or were there that day that expressed this great remorse for not having stepped in and not putting their own lives on the line. And we can't be asking civilians to put their own lives on the line against police officers. That's not what police officers are for. And defunding the police means we train our police better. We have better community care for situations where police just simply don't need to bring a gun to aggravate it.
Well, again, and it's the militarization that's been happening for a long, long time, all the way even before, I was going to say Standing Rock, but Wounded Knee. If you look at Wounded Knee, what happened in the 70s, it looked like Standing Rock. And if you look at the protests in for uranium mining, it looks like the same people. I mean, they're in the same uniforms and the militarized of the police. So this is a hard one, Mary, and we're going to change the subject here when we get back to you in the next segment, but we were just kind of talking about this, and it's just been in the forefront of our minds that the more things change, the more they say the same kind of deal, and it's a little disheartening.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll be right back. I'm going to put it over to a commercial here, and we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we'll be talking about some other things, too, now in the next segment, and we're really glad she's here, and we're really glad that her dog likes the show, too. That's always a good sign. You know what they say, animals can tell, you know, if you're a good or bad person, and she likes the show, it's a good show. Or he, I'm not sure, Mary, but she. Your dog. She, yes, yes. And what's her name?
Missy. Missy with an I, M-I-S-S-I.
Oh, good. Good one. All right, hey, we'll be right back after this short break with State Senator of Minnesota, Mary Kunish, talking about a lot of different things. We'll be right back. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Do you believe in ghosts? Ever wondered if aliens from other planets visit the Earth? Have you ever thought about whether Bigfoot is real? My name is Greg Bakken, and on my new show, Ghost Box Radio, we'll have these conversations about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual, bringing together guests who are experts in these fields. Join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. for Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken on AM 950, even if you're a skeptic.
I love my Toyota vehicle, so when I have to get service done, there's only one place I go, Rudy Luther Toyota. They know Toyota's inside and out. It starts with them checking your alignment and tire treads with their Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service as you pull in. Oil changes, tires, batteries, wipers, no matter what you need done, they can help you with reliable Toyota parts and the best service team in Minnesota. Check their website, RudyLutherToyota.com, for service specials for your Toyota vehicles. Worry-free driving is easy when you get your Toyota serviced at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
February is the month of love, so make sure to show your home the same love you'll be showing to your sweetheart this month by bringing Zero Res over to your home. Zero Res will take care of your carpets, upholstery, tile, area rugs, and air ducts. So if you're bringing a special someone over for that candlelight dinner, they won't be sneezing dusty air or asking about that nasty stain by the coffee table. Zero Res has a 4.9 rating on Google reviews, and their Gotta Love It guarantee makes it easy to get what you pay for. Ask for the AM 950 special and get 20% off all cleaning services in February. So don't wait. Call 952-0-RES or go to ZeroResMinnesota.com. That's 9520-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com to schedule your appointment anytime. Backward or forward spells the same. Zero Res. With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 3 below, wind chills down to 20 below, then sunny on Saturday with a high near 20. Nightingale at 26th and Lindale in Minneapolis is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood bar and restaurant. Now open daily from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. with their full menu available until midnight. Check them out today at nightingalempls.com.
Hi, Minneapolis. This is Randy Rhodes. Listen to me. Weeknights, 10 to midnight, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is brought to you by Patreon, Native Roots Radio Patreon. Donate to Patreon and get a free calendar sent to you. We have a MMIW calendar, Ogama, that has unbelievable, beautiful pictures by famous artist. I can't think of her name right off the top of my head.
Nadonis Green.
Yeah, and we have all these beautiful pictures in there, and they're all frameable. So if you buy this or donate to Patreon $5 or more, you'll get a calendar sent to you, and they are beautiful. So, hey, we're back with State Senator Mary Kunish, and have a lot more to talk about. I think we really wanted to touch base on you with that, and I'm still pretty left over. But what's going on? positive things, things in the Capitol. It's time to work again. And not that you haven't worked, but now redistricting's out. And there's some of our friends like Marty has overlapped. Senator Marty's overlapped with another Democrat. And so it's going to be hard moving and grooving with some.
It is going to be a very interesting election year in Minnesota. I mean, I just can't say that enough. There were a lot of changes due to the redistricting. My district, I really thought that I was going to be redistricted with two of my Democratic colleagues in my neighboring districts, because I had seen that on some suggested maps, but that didn't happen. And but what did happen is that my two state representatives in my district did get redistricted into the same district. And Representative Connie Bernardi has been a seasoned state legislator for a long time, and she was paired with my newest legislator, Sandra Feist. And so there's going to have to be a decision whether one of them decides to not run or move into an open district or try to, you know, get the endorsement. They'd have to go against each other. But in the within these new maps, there are six pairs of DFL or Democrat representatives in the House that are paired together. And there are six GOP members paired together in the House. And then in the Senate, we have just one group of where there's a GOP and a Dem paired. And then in the Senate, there are, let me see, two pairs of DFLers that are paired together. And there are four GOP members, groups of members that are paired together. And then there are 31 open seats.
Whoa.
31 open seats with no incumbent in the Minnesota House of Representatives.
Whoa.
And there are 16 open Senate seats with no incumbent running. So it's going to be very interesting. Our state legislature is going to look very different come January 2023. But, you know, with all the stars align, I will go back to the Senate. Unfortunately, our Senator Patricia Torres-Rey, our longtime Latina senator, is retiring, so we won't have her.
Oh, geez.
Our minority leader, Melissa Lopez Franzen, is paired with another DFLer, so we could possibly lose her if she doesn't move into a different district or the other senator decides not to run. And that would leave only me as the sole woman of color in the Minnesota Senate. And so we really, really, really need women and women of color to step up in Minnesota and run for like every seat possible.
Wow. How does the DFL do that? Do we have possibilities? Are they working behind the scenes in a sense of maybe this is a possibility? But those are staggering numbers.
Yes, they are. And yes, I'm sure both sides are scrambling to find good candidates to run for those seats. Even prior to this coming out, there were candidates posturing themselves to run for office. But what is really, really good is that the three tribes up in northern Minnesota
yeah.
are now in one one district.
Mm-hmm.
So there's power, my friends. There is power
yeah.
in northern Minnesota to
That's
get
good
candidates into those positions.
Let's get Stauber out of there. And I know Joey Peltier is running up there, but, you know, yeah, Ogema wants to run, and she wants to know when her deadline is. I just saw her post that.
Ogema, we have had women, bring children into the world while they are not in session, like on the floor, but during a session, and brought their brand new babies to the floor. The first year I was elected, there was a GOP woman who had given birth like just days before our session began, and she had twins. She brought those twins in every single day. And talk about a good way to get folks to talk across the aisle. Man, you couldn't keep me away from those babies. I didn't care if their mom was GOP or not.
Mary, you know.
We're looking for them.
Mary, you know, twins are sacred in the Native way, and I have twins too, so that's awesome. But I don't know. I don't think Ogema could take the pay cut to work as a,
I feel my current position probably maybe disqualifies me a little bit from being, you know, running as somebody that would be representing. I don't think people who don't agree with my point of view would feel like I would be a good representative for them.
Well, we would love it. You would have to give up your day job. And Robert, just to tell you, I'm pretty sure I must have shared this with you. I'm a twin as well.
That's right. That's right. You're sacred.
And I have I have three twin brothers in my family. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's really unique, especially before fraternity pills. That's really that's really sacred.
Yeah.
But so wow, that's just blows my mind. But I think it's really, you know, Marion, I don't know if you know this, but we're really popping out Rock the Vote Native style. We're getting funding for that, and we're gonna do that show again. And hopefully you can be involved with that. But I just got to say to Ogema, not this time around, but Jason Lewis, if you know that Republican person, I put the quotes up, person, he was on the radio for many, many years. So it might be a jumping ground for you. But let's get people out there. I know Nancy Bolio, she should be getting more involved, and she's the co-host of what we're going to do, Rock the Vote Native Style, again, coming up. We're counting the days backwards before we started. It'll be probably 3 or 4 months before, I think, the primaries. But, yeah, so we're excited about that, because last time, Mary, you were a big part of this, too, and this was the group of, like, Heather Keeler and all these people. We had 13 of the 14 Native American candidates win this last cycle. So let's get some more people out there.
Absolutely. I mean, from city council to school board to, you know, whatever is going on in your neck of the woods, this is the time to do it. This is the time to do it. And we really did rock the Native vote here in Minnesota. I think we had the highest turnout in Indian country in Minnesota than we've ever had in the history of Minnesota. And I think a lot of it is because, you know, this radio station and across the nation, people were championing and encouraging. But if there is anybody in Minnesota or Wisconsin or the Dakotas that is interested in running and you're not sure, you know, feel free to contact me. I will put you in charge with folks in your area. But here in Minnesota, I'm happy to help and be one of those initial contact people. We did just have precinct caucuses across Minnesota, and that's the first step in the election process. And now that we have maps, now that we have delegates to the next step is the endorsement convention within your Senate district. So again, the GOP, the Dems will each have an endorsement convention for candidates that have already said, I'm going to run. They've filed with their Secretary of State. They've opened up a campaign bank account. And then they go to their endorsement convention and stand up and say, I'm running for Minnesota Senate. Here's what I'm all about. I ask for your endorsement. And then anybody who's running for that seat does the same thing. And at and it's usually on a Saturday afternoon. And then those delegates vote on who they want to be their candidate in that district. And that's how you usually go ahead to like be the endorsed candidate for your Senate district. Then you go to the state convention, and that's when you endorse like for governor and federal seats. And then once you have all your people endorsed, then we have the national convention. So this is going to go on throughout the year, and there's going to be a lot going on. And I would be happy to help anyone and everyone, native or non-native, if you are a progressive folk in Minnesota. Let's have a conversation and get good people in the positions where we really need to make good decisions.
Hey, Mary, I don't know what your capacity is, but we could have you on a little bit the last segment, too, to finish up on this, because I know there's some important things that are happening, too. If you can hold on for just a couple more minutes in the next segment.
Yeah, I will do that.
Oh, awesome. Cool. Wendy's on vacation, so we have a free get ready to howl, too, because that portion's brought to you from Howling for Wolves. There, she's practicing. That's good. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit Pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is brought to you by Howling for Wolves. Howling for Wolves is howling for our sacred animals. Cool. As you notice, I don't have the piece of paper in front of me, so I didn't know what to say. But this portion is brought to you by Howling for Wolves. Hey, we still have State Senator Mary Kunish on for a little bit here, and were you going to say something, Ogama? You gave me a cue there.
Yeah, I did. I just wanted to let people know I did locate when the deadlines are to run for office for this election season. So it looks like if you're looking to run for a city office, candidates in cities where a primary is possible may file May 17th to May 31st of 2022. Candidates in cities where a primary is not held can file from August 2nd, 2022 until August 16th, 2022. County offices can file from May 17th, 2022 to May 31st, 2022. State offices, those are state senator, state representative, governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, state auditor, attorney general, and any judicial office may file from May 17th, 2022 until May 31st, 2022. And federal offices follow the same dates. So if you are one of those people that's looking at all those empty seats and considering it, you've got a couple of months to get everything together to get a campaign going.
Thanks, Ogama. So, Mary, we're going to shoot you a couple more minutes here. What else is going on in your world and in the Capitol world? And we know you have a granddaughter, too, so that's taken up a lot of your emotional time. So what is happening?
Well, we're in session here in Minnesota, and we will be through Memorial Day. And I have to tell you that we heard some really not good bills in the Minnesota Senate around education. We heard the Parents' Bill of Rights, which, when you think about it, of course, that sounds, you know, totally of course. But unfortunately, the bills that we heard were more or less just bills that are coming down the pike from across the nation by, you know, those uber conservative folks that feel that our teachers are doing the worst job and our schools don't know what they're doing, and that we're just, you know, destroying our schools through our children. And so we had some really tough ones around the teacher's Bill of Rights, and I'm just trying to find that bill so I can open it up, or the Parents' Bill of Rights. Basically, they want total access to everything and anything about their child, which makes perfect sense. But the thing is, we already have that. We already allow it. And the parental rights bill that we heard is just a copy of the bill that's going across the nation. And it's sourced out of ALEC and their education task force. And it attempts to sort of dress up the efforts to privatize our American tradition of public schools. There are a lot of people that would like to see public schools fail, and the ability to get their hands on the money that we do have for private schools, parochial schools. And I recognize, again, that that's a parent's right to send their children to those schools. But that's public dollars. That's taxpayers' dollars. And they would like to see it go towards vouchers and that sort of thing. And so this is really a wedge issue. And we really have to fight against that. Chair Chamberlain had a bill for $300 million. This bill of $300 million would go towards a private company that would provide professional development for teachers on how to teach reading. The program itself, I do not have a problem with, but how are we going to turn $300 million over to a private company? Right. And, you know, my suggestion was, you know, let's take that money and put people in the classroom. Let's put two teachers in every classroom. Let's make sure that we're providing a well-rounded education that isn't taught to the test and then test the bejesus out of our kids. And that's, you know, those are the kind of things that we're up against. And we really have to fight hard against, you know, a lot of defense against really, really bad suggestions by our GOP. The other one was that schools had to provide immediate and free data on any data requests by parents. So if a parent said, I want you to print out all the scope and sequence, all the standards, all the lesson plans, every list of books that my kids are going to have to read or anything that they're going to have to do, the school would like literally supposed to stop, do that, and at no cost. So whoever had to do that, it would take hours and hours and hours. And then, you know, let's say they ask for it all to be printed out. So, you know, reams and reams and reams of paper. And this is the kind of nonsense that's going across the nation, and it's come to Minnesota. You know, one of the...
Well, Mary, St. Paul is voted to strike again. And yes. So they have the period in March, and I know Minneapolis is striking too. So there might be two of the largest districts striking because of this. You know, there has been an attack on public education for a very, very long time. And we know when you take money out of education, meaning bodies and funds, education goes down, you know, and especially the inner city here, we are so underfunded. And I'm a retired teacher, and I can't even imagine. I mean, we know, you and I, because we've been retired just recently, know how much paperwork special ed teachers have to do.
Yes. Yeah. It is, it's really, really crazy. And then, you know, Minnesota has always had high expectation for the caliber of teachers that we employ, and have what I think are reasonable expectations for teacher licensure. And some of the bills that we'll see really just allow anybody to come in and be there. And they'll say, well, this is a sub. They're just expected to kind of hold down the fort, not really do instruction. But, you know, then why? It doesn't make sense to me that we would allow, you know, people, you know, like Joe that works down at the barber shop to come in on a day. And what are the kids supposed to do in that time? And what if this is a long call sub and they don't have a teaching degree? Or so there are bills that would really simplify the licensure as well as the licensure for substitute teachers. And I swear, all I do is play defense there.
Well, you need our support, and I'm glad you come on once a week and speak your truth and keep us really informed of what's going on and what not only what you're going through, but BIPOC people. And we take a couple steps back, and hopefully we take three forward. Pinigigi, Mary, for being on as always. We really appreciate you. Thank you, Ogama, for the earlier discussion. And I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. Again, thank you to the guests. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.